stand up and get involved, amen? Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 is our key verse tonight. I just simply entitled it tonight, Knockoffs. Most of the time our kids are usually hearing our parents say, knock it off. But tonight's message is entitled, Knockoffs. There's a difference there. Our key verse here is obviously from the book of Daniel, one of my favorite Old Testament characters. There's just so many of them once you get to know them a little bit. But I think why Daniel is such a unique individual is because he's about the age of some of our young people who have just graduated this year. A young man who had a whole life ahead of him probably as he grew up, thinking that he would always live in the land of Israel, that he would be raised in a country where God, Jehovah, was worshipped and was honored. And of course, things do change, don't they? And they did for Daniel. And the key verse is, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He was living, even though he was a captive, pressed into a king's service, he was living by principles that he had learned and practiced when he was just a young boy growing up into young manhood. And sometimes we get this idea that because my circumstances change, then my relationship to God changes. Not always for the better, but sometimes for the worse. I know that in my own personal life, being away from family, being away from those who I knew would be ashamed if they knew how I had chosen to live my life as a single airman in the United States Air Force. But you get away from those influences, you get away from that environment, and if you didn't have strong convictions before then, you're going to wander, and you're going to wander aimlessly. And you're going to make some bad decisions, you're going to make some bad choices along the way. It's just that simple. I don't want that to be the case with you young people walking away from Calvary, walking away from your Christian friends, from a Christian environment, and going out there into the world and get sucked in or drawn in to Satan's crowd. He will guarantee you that that crowd's having a lot of fun and you're really just miserable. And that's not the case, trust me. It is not the case. But if you've traveled to any large city, you've discovered a lot of street vendors. In fact, we travel from time to time on the New York State Thruway going south and going west, if you will, to go see our daughter and son-in-law and grandkids out there in Indiana, and then on down south to head on down to our daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren in North Carolina and all points south, I guess, for the most part. But you stop in the and the rest stations and fuel up, and you see vendors there. And they've got all kinds of wares, and they're standing out there. They've got these little, I don't know what they call them, kiosks, shops or something like that. But you go into the cities, and they're all over the place, if you will. And a lot of these street vendors are okay, and some, to be quite honest with you, are seedy. Seedy characters, hawking goods without licenses. And sometimes you'll be approached to buy a genuine Rolex watch. Guaranteed to be an absolute genuine, it's worth $5,000, we're going to give it to you for $50. Now folks, I got to tell you, there's no one going to sell you a $5,000 Rolex watch for $50. I don't care how genuine and how real it looks. Even if it was genuine and they were going to sell it to you for $50, it was probably stolen, so don't buy it anyway. But you'll be approached to buy a genuine Rolex watch or maybe a Gucci bag or Gucci shoes. I have no idea what they'd even look like. And it will be at a price that's usually way beyond the genuine selling price. Now, they are either stolen, so don't buy it, or they're simply knockoffs being sold. And you know what? If you don't really know, you may not be able to pick out. I could not tell you the difference between a genuine Gucci and a knockoff. I couldn't tell you the difference. I don't think I've ever seen one way or the other. But anyway, be that as it may, we also live in a world where our everyday experience is about imitations, being it clothing, jewelry, but perhaps even in the foods that we eat, there's a lot of imitation flavors, a lot of different things in there. And when we were down at over to my son-in-law's church in Beach Grove, Indiana, their youth pastor, who is a chemist, I believe he's a chemist by trade, he had a great sermon, and I'm not going to try to bring it all, but he brought out a wonderful illustration, and I said that it is an excellent illustration about imitations. And I wasn't exactly sure where he was going to go with it, but eventually it became, I guess, very understandable. But the fellow's name is Josh Porbaugh, a chemist, the youth director, or pastor, if you will, at Gabe and Randy's church here at Beach Grove. And he used an analogy about imitations, and he used it about sugar imitations, which really, for those of us who are diabetics, sugar imitations are really kind of a cool thing, because it really supposedly allows you to eat as much of the sweets as you want without having to have the sugar effects necessarily. But he was talking about one particular, I think it's xylitol. There's a few others here, but xylitol is one of those sugar imitations. And he says technically what they do is there's something that they add to it. I said, not being a chemist, I would really don't understand it all. But anyway, by adding this hydroxytol group to the sugar, it changes it from a sugar to a sugar alcohol. And as he said, it's not the kind you can go out there and get drunk on. But it certainly has its effects. The more you eat, the more adverse the effects. And I'm not talking about cancer. I am talking about it builds up, as he said, it builds up in your intestines because it never digests. And he says you need to read the warning labels because it says excessive amounts will lead or act like a laxative. So you got to be careful. Real sugar doesn't necessarily do that, but xylitol does that. It does not digest as does sugar, so it stays in the intestines, and the more of this sugar alcohol you take in, the more it gathers in your intestines. And well, if you have eaten a lot of sugar alcohol candy, at least, if you will, you'll hear some rumblings and some not so pleasant surprises along the way. Now, to be honest with you, it can look like sugar. It'll kind of help taste like sugar. You're supposed to be able to cook with it like sugar, although there are some that you can't, some you can't. But the reality is this, it's an imitation that ultimately has some not so nice consequences. And the point that he was making is this: in life, Satan has an arsenal of imitations that he wants to offer you in this life. Those of us who have lived for any length of time and have gotten away from spiritual principles and away from spiritual influences, we know some of the things that Satan offers us that are imitations of happiness, fun, excitement. And I meant to write down, and I forgot to do it, but I'll give it to you anyway, that he hides the four realities, and I can only ever give you three because I can never summarize the reason remember the fourth one. Maybe you can. But there are four realities, and you've heard me say it, and I want our young people to be reminded of it. And the reality is this, that sin will keep you, or let me put it this way, sin will cost you more than you are willing to pay. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And I can never remember the fourth one. If you go that route, you come back and tell me, because you'll find out firsthand. But there is a song, and that's where it came from. It's a country gospel song, and it really talks about the consequences of sin. Well, you know, the devil never shows you that. God wants you to know that there is a price to be paid for sin in your lives. So Satan has an arsenal of imitations he wants to offer you, things that he will offer you and conspire with your carnal nature, because really he's not just going to come out there and hand those things. So he's going to play on your carnal desires, your carnal natures. How many times have you thought that, boy, wouldn't it have been nice to have been born into a family that had all the money, and when I graduate, I'd be getting a brand new car, a Mercedes, or something of that nature there. And so you have all this money, and you have all these things you can do, and all these things you can buy. And you say, rather than having to struggle through life and wonder if I'm going to get money to go to college with, and how am I going to pay for this, and how am I going to pay for that? Boy, what? And we can have all these things, and of course the devil comes along and he says, you know what? I've got a plan. I've got a purpose for you. Possessions. We have this idea that if I just had this, and the devil says, you know, if you had this, you would really be a happy camper. And, you know, we are typically happy for a short season. But once we've got it, where does it end up? In the closet somewhere. Or we look at it and we say, oh, wow, they've got something new. That's the problem with electronics today, isn't it? I've got to have this. And we go out and we get it. And we know that within 3-6 months, you're going to have the next model or the next better unit. I've got it. And it's always this attitude, I've got to have. And I have to fight that a lot in my own life. Possessions, if I just had this, my life would have purpose. If I had this kind of a car, if I had a boat, or if I had this, or if I had that. Prestige. Promotions at the expense of time that we should be spending with God. See, the devil says, listen, I'm going to offer you all this prestige. Names in lights. Talked about in the newspapers glowingly. And you look at some of the athletes that we've got out there today, and these Hollywood people who have more money than they know what to do with in their lifetime. Money that you and I will never see if we lived a couple of lifetimes or even more. And boy, you look at them and you say, you know what, if that's what that money buys, I'm glad I don't have it. But prestige, we place a great deal of importance on prestige. You know, if I just had this position with this company, if I had this position, then boy, you know, I would have name recognition, and with that would come money, and with money I can do all these things. But listen, if you have to give up your time with God, it's not worth any of it. Treasures, things to redirect our focus. Power and influence, all these. The devil just has so many things he wants to offer. Now, I tell you, it isn't that God doesn't want you to have prestige, or it isn't that God doesn't want you to have some treasures, or that God doesn't want you to have power and influence or possessions. He doesn't want these things to control you, or you to be controlled by them. He wants us to have a Christ-centered life so that we're able to control these things. Satan came to Adam and Eve, and he offered them unprecedented knowledge. He said, listen, you don't have to depend on God. Listen, forget about God. Just do this, and you know what? You'll have all the knowledge and the information that you need. You won't have to have anybody else tell you. You know what? Freedom from obedience to God. All they had to do was just simply turn away from God, or to become distracted with this newfound wealth of information, and it would be theirs, just lying there, waiting for them. But he lied. Because he is a liar. He will lie through whatever medium he can if he will distract you from the truth, young people. He does not want you to live for the Lord. He doesn't want you to realize the blessings that God has in store for you if you'll follow his will for your lives. So, he wants to distract you from what is the truth. Truth is always eternal. So, the question is, what is truth? Well, what is life really all about? It is about truth, is it not? It's all about truth. It's not what I can amass in this lifetime. Someone has said that the individual who has the most toys at the end of his life wins. If you have spent your life trying to win the treasures of the world and you die without having a close relationship with God, you haven't won anything. You've lost more than you could ever possibly imagine. And as soon as you breathe your last breath and you wake up into eternity, you'll realize what a fool I have been. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. I love John chapter 17 in the gospel because it is the Lord sharing with us his burden for us and his praying for us. That's important. But it begins in chapter 17, verse 1. He says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. He's speaking obviously here in the third person, but he says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. Everyone in this room is an eternal being. Everyone that you've passed on the way to church tonight is an eternal being. And the difference is where we're going to spend eternity. Many of them out there are going to be going to a Christless eternity in a place called hell. You are on your way to church tonight, and you have eternal life, and you have eternal life in Christ, the Lord and Savior. But he says, and this is life. Not what Satan has to offer, but what God has to offer. Because he says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee. This is what life's all about. Getting to know God. Getting to know the Son of God. Because therein is the help and the compass that you need to get yourself through the quagmire that the devil's going to put before you. There is a minefield of imitations out there. And you have got to be able to navigate through all those imitations and discover what is the real thing. And I guarantee you, you won't find it Coca-Cola. It's what God has to offer, which is the real thing. That is where there is real joy. That is where there is real peace. Even though we may have a difficult time getting to that point, when we get there, we realize it was well worth the journey. But he says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So what is life? Well, this is it. It is why God created us in the first place. It is why God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, that we who were alienated and separated from God in our sin nature, that we could be saved from the ravages and the deception of sin, of the deception of Satan, and even the deception of our own flesh. How many times have you said, well, it's just this once? And once became twice. Twice became thrice. Four. And before you knew it, you're on that slippery slope and wondering, how in the world did I get to this point? You got there one step at a time away from God. You know, Satan will promise you the world, a world that is not even his to give. Isn't that one? I mean, I don't mind giving away stuff that's not mine. You know, the yard free was a lot of fun because that was a lot of your stuff I'm giving away. But we gave away some of our stuff as well. But it was fun giving it away, just watching the expression on the people's face like, you're really just giving this away. Yeah, we're just really giving it away. That couple that walked away with a seemingly wonderful, almost brand new lawnmower. I think they're probably saying, boy, these guys are a bunch of idiots. Well, we gave them a DVD. We gave them a Gospel of John and Romans. If they don't take the time to look at that and read that book, they're going to stand before God one day and say, no, they weren't the fools after all. We were the fools. The answer was in our grasp, and we ignored it. Young people, the answer is in your grasp. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. So he'll promise us the world. It's not his to give. It belongs to God. It is his. He created it. And if you want to be something in this world that will carry over into eternity, because that's really what this life is all about. It's about not only what is the here and the now, but what we carry off with us into eternity. And I got news for you, you can't take your house. If it's a mobile home, you can't take it with you either. Even if it is mobile. You can't take those bank accounts with you into eternity. It all stays behind. I've often wondered what it's going to be like when all of a sudden they realize that all these believers have been raptured out of the world. And someone's going to look at that, wow, look at all this money. All this money and all these accounts just sitting there. Nobody, that's okay. But it's better to invest it, though, isn't it, into the ministry of God, into lives being saved. But if we want to be something in this world that will carry over in eternity, let God do the promoting. God knows how to promote us. God knows how to elevate us in this world. And I can assure you, if you're going to turn your back on God, don't expect God to stand behind you, giving you a rah, rah, rah. If you're going to walk in this life, walk in your future, and you're going to ignore God with every step of the way, God's going to back off and say, you know what? I'll be here when you get back. I'll be here waiting for you when you get back to this point again. And trust me, if you're genuinely saved, when you get ahead of God, at some point you're going to realize, whoa, how'd I get so far out here? God, by the way, where are you, God? And God says, hey, back over here. Let's go back here and let's get started again. Let's go forward. Psalm 75, verse 6. Let God do the promoting. Young people, you stay focused. make it your goal in this present life to keep Christ-centered, Christ-focused life. And I'll guarantee you, God will promote you. Psalm 75 and verse 6 says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south." Now, David's experience is something different, but I believe we can make a certain application to us tonight. Because it says in verse 7, "But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." Yes, there are things that people in this world can do for you. They can promote you and they can push you if they think you've got the talent, that you've got the abilities. Yes, they can stand behind you. But at what expense? At what cost? If I'm to be promoted, I want God to do the promoting. I feel when I left the world of computers, programming, and operations to go into the ministry, God promoted me. And I have been pleased with that promotion because I have experienced things that I could not have never ever experienced in any other way but in this field that God's called and promoted. Now in verse 1, promotion. And then in verse 10, if we look at the end, it goes on and it says here, "But God is the judge." In verse 7, "He putteth down one and stirreth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture. And he poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob." He's simply saying, I'm going to stay God-focused, even in a wicked and a vile world. And he says in verse 10, "All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be" what? God's going to do the exalting. That word exalted in verse 10 is the same as the same Greek word as it was in verse 7, rendered promoted, or promotion. It is the Greek, it is the Hebrew word room. So, if you want God's promotions, young people, you will have to stay focused and refuse to accept any substitutes and be weary of any imitations that are offered to you. Let me give you a couple quick examples very quickly. I believe that in scriptures, and it's important for us to be in scripture, that we have a great number of examples on either side of the equation in the Bible, those who stayed Christ-centered and Christ-focused, and we have those who did not. Adam and Eve, they lost their focus. We, along with them, have paid a great price, and don't ever think for a minute that the minute we turn our backs on God and walk away, that we're the only ones who are affected. It affects all of us. All those around us, the family members. You know, Daniel, as we just looked at in Scripture, the Bible says that even in captivity in a foreign land, being pressed into a service that he would rather not be in, is that he purposed. He purposed. You young people are going to have to purpose right from the beginning. I am not going to allow the devil to offer me up imitations when God wants to give me the real thing. He was focused on the Lord in his life. That's why he could come to that place and make that decision. Though he was in a good spot as far as captivity goes, he refused to nonetheless defile his body. He wasn't obnoxious about it, but he went graciously and gave his conviction to Melzar, who was over him, and requested. I believe that showed the nature and the character of this man's heart that he had for God and the confidence that he had in God. But also, it was God who promoted Daniel. He said, you know what? There's a man that I can really use. And I believe God knew that even before the captivity. No doubt about it. I mean, God knows past, present, and future. But because of Daniel's life in his homeland, God knew that he would carry that same character into this idolatrous world of people. And so God promoted Daniel in this life. What a privilege it's going to be able to meet Daniel face to face. But you know what, young people, he probably wasn't any older than you young people here. Pressed into the king's service when he made that decision. But he didn't make it alone. He made it with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Three additional other men who said, you know what, it really doesn't make any difference because God's everywhere. God isn't just back in Jerusalem. God's not just back in Israel. God is also here. And God has brought us here because, number one, we deserve to be here, but we can also be a light here. And so he was a cherished advisor to the heathen. God promoted him even above the Babylonians. And even under Darius, the Medo-Persians, he was promoted. You know, those who thought they were really close to the kings were really, they hated Daniel with a passion. But that didn't make any difference because God promoted him. So God can promote you even in a godless society. God can promote you to places and positions, but you're going to have to show him that you can be trusted. So he was a cherished advisor to heathen kings because of his relationship with God. You can't postpone and say, you know what, God, this is not a convenient time. And so, listen, I got to be busy about my education. I got to be busy about my building my career. And when I get older, then, Lord, then I'm going to be able to get back into church and have that time. No, that's the biggest mistake you'll ever make in your life. You walk day by day now. I think I shared with the young people on different occasions. I know I shared many things as I worked and taught with them in Sunday school hour. But in the Basic Institute Youth Conflicts, the leader back in those days was pretty straightforward. I've lost contact, so I have no idea where he is. I've heard things from one way or another. But I'll just simply say that he was an individual who struggled in school. He struggled with his grades. Even as a Christian, he struggled. And he was either challenged or he got convicted one day, and I think someone challenged him that if he would just have his devotional time, I don't have time for that. I'm in college and I'm struggling now as it is. How am I going to be able to have time reading my Bible? And how am I going to have time to memorize my Bible or memorize some verses along the way? I don't have that kind of time. He didn't do very well that semester. And so he finally took up the challenge on the next semester and he began to memorize some scripture and spend time with God. He said all of a sudden his grades went up. Because his mind was being stimulated. He was able to focus appropriately and focus rightly so. He said, that can't be. And so the next semester he began to back off and his grades began to plummet. So he said, I decided right then and there, he said, I better spend adequate time with God. I better prepare my mind and my heart for the things that I'm going to have to do in college and prepare myself for the future. I challenge you young people, some of you are heading off to college. Don't forget God in the process. Moses was another with the world at his feet, prestige, power, treasures, all the best things that this world had to offer. The Bible says he chose God. He chose the reproaches of Christ rather than the riches and the treasures of Egypt. Enoch lived in an idolatrous period of time. It took him a little while, but once his first son, Methuselah, was born, the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. Maybe there was something about bringing that child into his life that he began to realize when he was there for the birth. I don't know. And he began to realize that miracle of birth that he better get close to God. And he did. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he said that Enoch walked with God and was no more, for he was translated. Enoch decided and realized that a Christ-centered, a God-focused life was better than an unfocused life on God. Crazy Noah, building an ark to save his family. Rain, come on, Noah, what's rain? I'm not really sure, but God said it's going to rain. Yeah, okay, so what's this big thing you're building in your backyard? Well, it's an ark. What are you going to do with an ark? Well, it's going to rain and the water's going to rise and we're going to float away. I'm sure that he would have been carried off with a straight coat. You young people are probably going to be ridiculed. You're going off to a secular college and they will make sport of you. Professors will find out that you're a Christian and they have no qualms about making you an object of ridicule in the classroom. You better make your mind up right now whether you're going to be Christ-focused and honor him. And don't worry about the crazy nutty professors. They're clueless anyway. God may have put you there for one reason only, to bring them under conviction. You stand steadfast, immovable. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, and on goes the list in the book of Hebrews, some that are nameless. They chose death rather than to reject the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are genuine examples of natural men. Men who are like any one of you young men. Ladies who are like any of you young ladies here this evening. They were not super ordinary men and women. They were just ordinary men who served an extraordinary God. And they chose to focus and to honor him in their lives. And now we're reading the example of their lives. So, as we close, this is life. John chapter 17 and verse 3. Let's go back there. John 17 and verse 3. 17 and verse 3. And this is life eternal. Your life is to be focused, saturated with learning and getting to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. Even if you learn, or whatever it is that you learn in college, you know that God already knew about it long before any professor ever sat down and talked to you about it. They will try to give a spin on it that is absolutely ludicrous. But you stay God-focused and realize that God is the author of history. And God is the author of the present and the future. So don't be fooled by imitations or knockoffs that make false promises to lure you away from God's wonderful great promises. Hebrews 11 is about men and women, some in their youth, all made God their priority. Not possessions, not prestige, and certainly any one of them at any time could have, but they chose not. They chose God instead. They didn't choose possessions. They did not choose prestige. They didn't count on earthly treasures. Just normal people who now serve as examples to you and I thousands of years later of the blessings in this life and the life yet to come when we center our lives on the person of Jesus Christ. This life and the life to come are built on the promises of God that are real and genuine promises. Satan wants you to build your life on lies and on deceptions. Falsehoods and imitations. That's how he wants you to build your life. Some of the promises God's given to us, and you just might want to mark them down. But one of the promises he's given to us is in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. In fact, let me see. We got just a few minutes here. Let me give some of these out here. Steve, would you look up Deuteronomy 31 verse 6? We'll jump over here. Michael, would you look up Psalms 100 verse 5? Clark, Romans 8, 28. Scotty. John 16, 33. Scott, Psalms 103, 12. David, John 14, 2. Michael, Doolin. Forget we got a couple of Michaels in there. John 17, 9 and 10. Brother Jim, John 14, verse 3. And as soon as I read these off, you go ahead and stand and read it nice and loud so everybody can hear the scripture. We have the promises, I will never leave you. Now, we know he says that also in the book of Hebrews. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But he says, I will never leave you. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says,
be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Mm.
You know, the devil will convince you that God is going to fail you every turn in the road. God said, no, I'll never do that to you. I'll never do that. I will always love you. Psalms 100, verse 5.
For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Man. That verse is a marvelous verse in that he says, to all generations. That was generations plural. We're one of those generations. I believe he has preserved his word. I believe with all my heart that he has indeed preserved his word, just as he promised. If God didn't, then God lied to us. And God cannot lie. But he also says, I have a plan in Romans 8, 28.
Them who are the called according to his purpose.
All things work together for good to them who what? Who are called. All right. So God has a plan. God has a purpose, doesn't he, for our lives? He said, I have overcome. Once again, we're reminded of that in John 16, verse 33.
These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but ye of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
I have overcome the world. Why in the world do we feel like losers sometimes? Listen, if we stay Christ-focused, we're not losers, we're winners. And I got a feeling that in the end of time, those who have laughed at us now will not be laughing then. Don't worry about those who may laugh or scoff or scorn you. Also, another promise, I have separated your sins as far as the east is from the west. Psalms 103:12. Far as the east is from the west. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am preparing a place for you. John 14:2.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
He says, I am praying for you. John 17, 9 and 10. What a prayer partner. Woo. I pray for you. Lastly, but certainly not the least, and it's not the last of promises, but just lifting them out, I am coming back for you. John 14, verse 3.
If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen. These are precious promises that God has given to you. Claim them and hang on to them. The devil wants you to forget about them. He wants you to focus in a different area. But young people, I don't know how many years you have. I would that I would die before any one of you will pass off from this lifetime. But that may not be the case. Many of you know that even in this school year alone, some in your class have passed away. Automobile accidents, or tragic accidents, or who knows, whatever possibly could happen. I know it was on the soccer team, the young man, just a very young man, massive heart failure. Yeah, we just don't know how many days we've got. So I don't know how many years you have. God does. Hebrews 9:27 says, as is appointed unto man, once to die, after this, the judgment. Young people, make the time you have count for God. I know that when I was your age, I thought I was indestructible. And I learned out very quickly, I'm not indestructible. And I can look back over my life, and there's probably several occasions in my life where I should be in eternity right now. But I'm here. It was my appointed time. But I've often thought, if I had died in a backslidden condition, what an embarrassment I would be to the Lord and to myself. Young people, don't make the same mistake. Make the time you have count for God, and you will never, never, ever be sorry. Not now or into eternity. Do that. We're going to have a prayer of dedication in a moment. We're going to have the young people kind of stand. But first of all, we want to give you a gift. I've chosen a gift to give. I don't know why we didn't do this before. We will probably do better next year. Be a little better prepared than what I was this year. But visiting with my son-in-law's church out there, they had a great program that Sunday evening and that Sunday afternoon for the graduating couples. We have a slim line complete Bible, and with that goes Spurgeon's devotional morning, noon, and night. And I chose those because if you'll take seriously that devotional and spend time meditating in the scriptures from which he brings these devotionals, you can get through your college years unscathed by sin, Satan, and the weaknesses of your own flesh. There's a card and just a little monetary token of our love. For you, it might get you a book or two. I don't know. Nowadays, you look at books and I look at some of AJ's books as an engineer, and probably I'm sure some for nursing it, but when you're paying $600, $700 for a textbook, I think to myself, oh, my goodness. But anyway, be that as it may, I wish we could give each one of our young people a scholarship if they go to Pensacola Christian College. Maybe someday we'll have the finance to do that and say, listen, you go to Pensacola Christian College, we'll pay for it. You pray about the finances coming in or someone dying and leaving a scholarship program here, and we'd love to do that. Be that as it may right now, we will definitely pray hard for you no matter where it is that you go, because you young people have become very near and very dear to us. I've enjoyed, I don't know how many years I teach you guys. Emily's thinking, not too long. Too many years. But the thrill of our youth here is that almost every one of you have come through the nursery to where you are today. And I trust and I pray to God that 5 years, 10 years from now, we'll find you still in church, maybe with your own families, with your own children coming to the nursery. I'll be too old to teach them, so don't worry. I might be too old to preach, but anyway, but when it comes right down to it. So we do have a couple of gifts here, and what I want you to do is, oh my goodness here, how are we going to do this here? Dave, why don't you come up here and Steve can come and give me a little bit. As you kind of grab one of these, read off the names, and then we'll have them come up. It's on the envelope. The name is there. Just have them come up one at a time here. Who you got there?
TJ.
Okay, TJ, why don't you come up and get your gift here? TJ, when you get here and take a gift, I want you to kind of basically give us an idea of what's happening over this next year for you. You got planned. Oh, man, he wants the pulpit. Come on up here.
Yeah, if we're doing this, I want this. Yeah, look at this. All right.
Let me ask you, how's it feel?
Feel good? Like another day.
Do you feel comfortable up here?
Yeah, I like this.
And you know what? I think God's calling you in the wrong direction.
You know, I could give speeches to my business partners and stuff.
Oh, you could do that. You could do that, too. Yeah. Amen.
Next year, I will be going to CCV for business entrepreneurship. And, yeah, hopefully get a degree, open a business.
And tie to the church.
Yes. Yes.
There's our scholarship. That's already beginning.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
We got AJ. Well, AJ didn't graduate from high school, but he did graduate from college, and so we want to recognize him. AJ, come on up here, buddy. I'd ask him, what are you going to do with his future? But his job. Get a job. Get a job, AJ. You can come up here, too. Fine, yeah. But if you just you tell everybody what you're, maybe be able to kind of get the hint that no one opening the out there on TV land or whatever it is, computer land.
Well, I just graduated from Pensacola Christian College with an engineering degree, and I'm currently trying to find a job. So.
His mama says right now, any kind of job. Any kind of job. All right, amen. Good. Then the next one we got here is. All right, Lexi, all right.
So next year I'll be heading out to, this year, to Pennsylvania, and I will be going for graphic design, just arts, love to draw and create things, so that's what I will be doing.
Justin B., his ambition is to become a world-class soccer player. He wants to follow his grandpa. He wants to. You get involved in soccer and you end up in the ministry.
I will be going to Castleton State College next year, studying exercise science and playing soccer and hopefully having some fun with that and being a good testimony.
Well spoken.
Yeah. take all you can get, my angel.
Well, I'll be going to Pensacola on August 28th, and I'll be teaching or doing elementary education.
I'm going to be working my job for most of the summer, and hopefully in the spring be starting college, joining Lexi down in Pennsylvania, having some fun here, doing some of the stuff I love, and it's going to be hard to lose some friends, but start a career and a good path in my future, so that's what I'll be doing.
Michael's really relatively new to the family of God. He got saved how many months ago?
March.
In March, amen. Boy, time marches on there. But young people, just keep on inviting your friends, and who knows, they'll get come to know Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. We're going to ask all of our young people who have just graduated high school and/or college to just stand right where you are. Pastor Jim, would you stand and ask God's richest blessings on them tonight? This young people, all the young people, go ahead and stand.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for these young people. And Father, we thank you for the testimony they have now. Lord, we just pray that at the end of their college career, that they'll still be able to stand and praise you for all the things that you've done for them. So, Father, we're asking now that you would completely put your blessings upon them, and Lord, let lead and guide and direct them in the way that you would have them to go. Lord, may they not follow the world, but may they follow you. So, Father, give me praise. Your blessing would be upon them and meet all the needs as they go to school. And Lord, that you furnish the finances for them and just have your will and way in their lives, Lord, and meet all the needs. And Lord, we thank you, praise you again for our young people and pray your blessings would be upon them. So bless and meet all their needs now in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. So there is cake and there is ice cream down there. We're going to ask a blessing on that really right now. And there's also some coffee down there, and there's some fruit punch down there as well. So come on down and eat up some calories while we're down there, right? That's David, would you ask the blessing on the food, please?
Gracious God, Lord, we just thank you for this night. Thank you for this opportunity to recognize the accomplishments of our graduates, Lord. And we're thankful for their testimonies, most of all. Lord, most thankful that they all know you and know your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we go down and celebrate that, we just ask that you bless this food and the nourishment of our bodies, Lord, and that we can just enjoy this fellowship with fellow believers. All this will be lifted up in your son's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.